Okay, our series is called, this week, it's called Lost and Found. And so we'll talk a few times over the next couple of days about different lost and found stories. You might have a lost and found story. Maybe you are a lost and found story. You were lost at the supermarket for 3 hours and your mum was frantically looking for you and now you're found. You might have had other lost and found stories where you lost something that was precious to you and then you found it and you're really, really, really excited. But the lost and found that we're going to talk about is actually far more important than when you lose, like, your favorite Xbox game. It's far more important than when you lose your sister. And then, no, it's not quite. That's important when you lose your sister.
It isn't, is it?
You don't worry about your sister. But our aim this week is to see that Jesus, he actually came, and he came to look for and to save people who are lost. Here is our memory verse. Here is our key Bible verse that we're going to look at every single day. We'll look at it together when we do our talk. We'll look at it together when you split up into small groups soon. And here's what it says. It says, the Son of Man. Who do you think the Son of Man might be?
Jesus.
So when it says Son of Man from now on, just remember Jesus. The Son of Man came to what? Look for and save people who are lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Do you think you can read that out with me? You want to do it? Okay, here we go. The Son of Man came to look for and save people who are lost. And so, I've got a picture that I'm going to draw. And by the end of the week, I want you to be able to draw this. And it will help you to remember this Bible verse. It will help you to remember Jesus. And it will help you to remember what Jesus has done for you. And so, this here is a soccer field. Okay, and imagine that half the field is... Half the field is heaven, and the other half the field is bingo. Okay. Half the field is heaven, half the field is earth. Here is Jesus, JC. He's a king. Okay. He's in heaven. Okay. And here is the earth, and there are lots of lost people. In fact, the whole of the earth is actually lost. It's dark. People can't find where they are. People don't even know that they're lost. It's one thing to be lost. It's another thing to be lost and not even realize that you're lost. And so our world is full of people who don't think they're lost. They think they can see. Everything seems okay for them. But Jesus actually came, the Son of Man, Jesus came to look for and save people who are lost. And so what Jesus did, let's see how this goes. Okay, there's an arrow. This will get better the further we do it. You guys will be able to draw better than me. I'm bad at drawing. Jesus actually came, okay, the Son of Man came to look for and to save people who are lost. And do you know the way that he did that?
How?
Ultimately, he was born as a baby. He came down into our world as a baby. He grew up like we grow up. But at the age of about 33, he did something incredible. We've just celebrated it recently. What was it?
He died
upon a cross. See how we go with this. I struggle with this bit when I was practicing. Can you see a cross in there?
No.
Sort of, yeah.
Sort of? I don't know how you get any better.
No.
Okay, so what Jesus did, Jesus came down to look for and to save lost people. And ultimately, the way that he does that is by dying on the cross. And so over the next few days, we're going to keep learning about what that means. And so the response to Jesus, which I hope we also learn, is if people are going this direction, the wrong way, the response to Jesus is to do a whopping big U-turn. So who knows how to do a U-turn? You chuck a Yui, fang it round. We're now going it that way. Going this way. So that we can now be in heaven, be with Jesus, be with God, no longer be lost, but be found. You got it?
Yeah.
Here it is. Jesus, the Son of Man, came to look for and to save, that is, bring them back, people who are lost. How did he do it? He did it through the cross. And so our response is one of two things. We can turn around and come back to Jesus, or we can keep going. We can keep going our own way. We can keep being lost. And the Bible says that we'll be lost for eternity if that's the case.
So do you have a question, God?
We'll talk about questions in a moment. You'll talk about those in your small groups. What I want you to do right now, though, we'll come back to that picture every day, and we'll get quicker and quicker at it, and I'll even maybe get one of you guys up here to do that picture. But while we're talking about Jesus who came down, what time of the year did Jesus come down? We celebrated another time of the year. What's it called? Yeah.
Christmas.
So Christmas is when we celebrate the birth of King Jesus. What I want you to quickly do, very quietly, just with the person beside you, is what do you love about Christmas? Talk about that question. You've got 30 seconds. Go.
Presents, love, family.
15 seconds. Ten.
9, 5 seconds.
Within the 4 seconds, I need you to be quiet. 3, 2, 1. Excellent. That was very good. I'll get you to pop your hand up if you want to share something that you love about Christmas. Yeah.
Decorations.
You love decorations. What's your favorite decoration?
Hanky.
A hanky?
Yeah.
Cool decoration? Yeah, yeah, hand up.
Presents.
Favorite thing about Christmas is present. Who else talked about presents? Lots of people talked about it. Yeah, what was that one?
Christmas pudding.
Oh, how good is Christmas pudding? Yum! So much good Christmas food, yes.
Seeing my family that I don't get to see much.
That's a really good one. Hanging out with your family. I really love that as well. You get to see family you don't see much. Yeah, two more. One, two. No, we'll go three more. One, two, three. Go.
Playing games.
Playing games? Winning games as well. What was that last one?
With your toys.
With new toys. Good one. Yep. Second last one.
Eating the roast dinner.
Eating the roast dinner. Yum. Scrumdiddlyumptious. Last one.
Turkey.
Turkey. Another food one. Lots of food one. Lots of presents ones. I want you to close your eyes. Every eye closed. When you think of Christmas and Jesus, what do you picture? So not just the presents now, but when you actually think of Jesus at Christmas time, what do you picture? I don't want you to talk to anyone. Just keep your eyes closed. What do you picture? What do you see? Okay, eyes open. No need to talk to anyone. My guess is that you saw sweet little
pixies.
Sweet little pixies. Not sweet little pixies. Sweet... Sweet little baby Jesus. Sweet little baby Jesus. Most people think of Jesus as the cute little baby living in a manger. Most people think of Jesus as if he's always just that cute little baby. Sweet, cute little Gucci Gucci good baby Jesus. Now, I think with the exception of Jack-Jack, who knows who Jack-Jack is? Jack-Jack from The Incredibles. With the exception of Jack-Jack, babies aren't too dangerous, are they?
Yeah.
What
is?
Because
he has
You don't have to take babies too seriously. And so it's easy to imagine Jesus as a sweet little baby. I don't know if you've ever stolen candy from a baby. Have you heard that term before? It's easy to do. If you ever want to have lollies, just steal them from a baby. Because what can a baby do? Nothing. They just cry and... You can slap them one, grab the candy and run the opposite direction. Babies are helpless. Babies aren't dangerous. Don't go home and say, Dave told us that we should slap babies and steal candy from them because it's easy. Don't do that. Too late. Okay, sorry about that. We'll need to write some letters straight away.
I'll do that when I get home.
Shh. You know what? Most people, I'm not sure if you're one of them, they still imagine little baby Jesus in a manger. And do you know what? Therefore, thanks, boys. Because people still imagine little baby Jesus in a manger, they don't take him too seriously. So the question tonight is, who do you think Jesus is? Maybe you don't think about him at all. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard his name. Maybe you may have heard his name, but you've only ever thought of it as a swear word. That's great that you've come here to camp, because we're really excited that you can learn some stuff about Jesus. So that might be who you think Jesus is. You just don't really know. But you might still think of Jesus as a baby in a manger. The third option is actually taking him more seriously. He's no longer some little baby in a manger. And so the big question for tonight, and I guess the big question that we're asking as we look at a Bible passage in a moment, is who is Jesus? Who really is he? Because he's not just some little baby. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to pray that God would help us, because we're going to look at a few verses, not all those verses on the page there. We're going to look at a few of those verses, and we're going to find out some stuff about Jesus. So how about you pray with me? Close your eyes, bow your heads, and I'm really going to pray that God would help us to concentrate. Dear God, we thank you for this camp. We thank you for soccer. We thank you for Jesus. And we really pray that you'd now help us to concentrate as we hear the word of Jesus, that we would understand who Jesus is. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, in the Bible passage that we're about to look at tonight, we're going to actually meet Jesus no longer as a baby, but roughly as a 30-year-old. Okay, he was a carpenter. He wouldn't have been some little weedy fella. He would have been quite well-built type of guy. And we're going to meet him as a man. And what he's doing is, he's been away from his hometown, and he's returning home. Okay, so he was brought up in one place. He's moved to another place, and Jesus is returning home. And just before this bit that we're going to look at, Jesus has done some amazing things. He's been teaching people. He's been healing people. He's been doing these incredible things, and everyone's talking about him. Have a look at the first two sentences, sentence number 14 and sentence number 15 on the page there. Make sure you're maybe following it with your finger might help you to concentrate. So grab your finger, put it on the 14. And I'm going to read those first two sentences. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee with the power of the Spirit. News about him spread everywhere. 15, he taught in the Jewish meeting places, and everyone praised him. You see, people are amazed. And so now, in the next sentence, Jesus is going to return to his home in Nazareth. Have a look at sentence number 16. Keep following with your finger. Make sure you can follow along with these words. It says, Jesus went back to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as usual, he went to the meeting place on the Sabbath. That was on the Saturday. It was a special day. And when he stood up to read from the scriptures, so he's gone home, he's gone back to Nazareth, and he's been given a Bible, okay? He's been given a Bible, and he's about to go and read it and teach people about the things that it says. And so have a look at sentence number 17. He says, he was given the book of Isaiah the prophet, and he opened it, and he said, look at 18. The Lord's Spirit has come to me. Keep following with your finger. Because he has chosen me to tell the good news to the poor. The Lord has sent me to announce freedom for prisoners, to give sight to the blind, to free everyone who suffers, and to say this is the year the Lord has chosen. And verse 20, sentence number 20. Keep following along. Jesus closed the book. He's read those verses that he's just read out. Were written about 500 years before he was reading them. He closes the book, sentence 20, then handed it back to the man in charge. He sits down. Can you imagine? And everyone in the meeting place, they're all standing up. And they look straight at Jesus. Everyone's waiting. What's Jesus going to say? What's he got to say to us this time? Sentence 21, see what it says? Then Jesus said to them, what you've just heard me read has come true today. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying that those words that were written 500 years earlier are all about him. So who is Jesus, our question, according to Jesus? Well, this is who he is. He is the one who the Spirit... Don't worry too much about what the word means, but he's the one who the Spirit of the Lord is upon. You got that first one there? The Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus. So he's saying that these words that he's reading in the Bible that were written 500 years previous, he's saying these are fulfilled in me. These words I've just read out are all about me. And so what he's saying, for the Spirit of the Lord to be upon Jesus basically means Jesus was special. That is, Jesus was the King that God had promised in the Old Testament, And as Jesus sits there, and as he reads those verses from the Bible, he's saying, these are about me. I'm the special king that God has promised. Here I am. Now, Jesus is special. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him, which shows that he's the special king. And he does two things to show that he is this special king. The first thing is, Jesus brings two different things. The first thing that Jesus brings, and this is a big word, and if you don't quite understand this word now, you can talk about it in your small groups in a moment. But the first thing is, Jesus brings salvation. That is, Jesus saves. That's what the word salvation means. Jesus saves. Have a look at verse 18 again. What I want you to do, I'm going to read verse 18 again. There's four people that Jesus helps in there. And I want you, you might even underline those four people as we come across them. There's four different people. I'm going to read it, and then I'll find out if you work out who they are. So the Lord's Spirit has come to me, Jesus is saying, because he has chosen me to tell the good news to the poor. The Lord has sent me to announce freedom for prisoners, to give sight to the blind, to free everyone who suffers. So there's four people in there. Who does he tell the good news to? Who's the first ones? Yeah, up the back.
Oh, the prisoners.
Is it the prisoners? Who does he tell the good news to? Yeah.
The poor.
So we've got the poor. He tells the good news to the poor. What's the next one? He announces freedom for who? Yeah.
Prisoners.
Excellent. The prisoners. Prisoners.
The blind.
Okay, he announces freedom for the prison. He gives sight to the
blind.
The blind. And what's the final one there? He frees everyone who
suffers.
So we've got the poor, we've got the prisoners, we've got the blind, and we've got those who suffer. So what it's saying is that Jesus came to save people, to help people who need to be saved, to help people who are needy. And so what's our memory verse say again? Can anyone say it without looking at the board?
What?
Smart people would look down at their piece of paper right now because it's written in big bold on the bottom left of your page. It's on the top of every page.
A son of the man came to look for.
So the son of, what's it say? Let's read it together. The son of man came to look for and save people who are lost. Jesus came to look for and save people who are lost. Poor people, prisoners, blind, people who are suffering. Jesus came to save people like that. Helpless people, people who are lost. Jesus came to save people just like that. Now, I've got a picture here. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Okay, open your eyes. Who knows what this is? Anyone know the name? You see it?
No.
I heard a few. This is the Pachibolka. What's the Pachibolka?
A ship.
It's not a spaceship. Did someone say spaceship? Yeah, it's not a spaceship.
It's a ship.
It's a big tanker. Last year in June, it was. There was a huge storm, particularly on the Central Coast and in Newcastle. And this Pachibolka, this whopping big ship, got beached up on Newcastle. Okay, it was crazy. It was there for a week or two afterwards. So you could actually go out and see this enormous ship, the size of like a huge, huge, huge building, just on the side of the beach there, and it got stuck. Apparently on the Friday night of the storm, I don't know if you remember the storm at all, but it was a crazy storm where there was 150 plus kilometer hour winds. It was a crazy, 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 crazy storm. On that particular Friday night, the crew who were on the Pachibolka, they went through a pretty tough time. They were stranded. They were helpless. They could do nothing about their plight. If they tried to jump off, what would have happened?
Died.
They would have died for certain. There was nothing they could do to save themselves. They're in this terrible situation, not sure if they were going to live or if they were going to die. They were needy people. They were people who needed to be rescued. And that's exactly what the rescue workers did. I don't know if you heard any of the stories, but they came down in helicopters and swinging down, grabbing these guys. And it was quite a heroic and quite a brave thing that they did. But you know what? Jesus actually comes and does a similar thing. He comes to rescue He comes to save those who couldn't save themselves. Just like the crew on the Pasha Bolka couldn't save themselves, Jesus comes to save people like the poor, the prisoners, the blind, the suffering people, because they can't save themselves. Now, you may not be that poor. You may not be in jail. You may not have ever been in prison at all. You may be able to see okay. There were some guys out there on the soccer field who was clear that you weren't seeing too well. But generally, most of us for most of the time, except for maybe Corey, after he got hit on the head, I don't think you could see for another 20 minutes. But most of us, we're not poor. We're not that poor, are we? If we come away on a camp like this, if we live in and around Sydney, we're not too poor. We're not prisoners. We're not really blind. We might have some problems and some things that we suffer through and tragic things in our lives. But do you know what? The way the Bible describes it is that anyone who doesn't know God, that is anyone who's actually living on this earth, they're actually a lost person. They're actually in the dark and they're helpless. Like on the Pasha Bolka, they need to be saved. They need to be rescued. And Jesus, he's the one that brings that salvation. He's the one that rescues people. He saves people from a terrible, terrible situation. So Jesus brings salvation. He saves people. But there's another thing he brings. And the other thing that he brings is a terrible thing. Jesus brings
death.
Jesus brings death and judgment. Jesus brings death and judgment. So it's fantastic that Jesus brings salvation, because it means we who are lost, which is all of us, can actually be found, can actually be saved, can be actually brought to heaven, brought to friendship with God. And that's fantastic. But Jesus also brings something that's terrible. He brings judgment. And it's right that he brings judgment. Now, who has annoying people in their family? Two hands up. And a leg, I can't really get four. Well, lots of us have annoying people in our families. I remember when I was about your age, some of the people I found the most annoying were my aunties and uncles, who I'd see maybe every 6 months. And let me tell you what they'd say to me, and my guess is you'll probably nod and go, they say that to me too. They go, grab your cheek. Boy, how much you've grown.
Yes.
You're about this big last time I saw you. And they say those. So who's had those types of things said to them where you go, boy, how you have grown, and you like I've been growing like a millimeter every week. Come on, I haven't grown that much. You just haven't seen me for a while. It's pretty annoying. It's pretty annoying when your grandparents or your aunties and uncles talk to you like that. Now, when Jesus went back to Nazareth, when he went back to his hometown, he was treated like that. People are like, isn't this, if you read a little bit further down, it says, isn't this Joseph's boy, the carpenter? Isn't you, boy, how you've grown. They're treating him as if he's still a baby. They're treating him as if he hasn't actually grown up really at all, and they're sort of they're not treating him very nicely at all. They don't think that he's special, and so by the end of the page, we won't read it now. You could maybe read it before you go to bed tonight and read the rest of the story there. But do you know what they do? The people from his own hometown, Jesus returns there. He's been doing incredible things. Do you know what they try to do to him by the end of the chapter, by the bottom of the page? They try to kill him. That Jesus comes as the one who comes to rescue people. Jesus comes like someone who's coming down on a helicopter to save people from the Pasha Bolka. And it's as if the people on the Pasha Bolka go, we'll be okay. We don't need your help. Get lost. And start throwing things at the person trying to rescue them. So Jesus doesn't just bring salvation and save people, but Jesus actually brings judgment. That is, he punishes people who reject him. Jesus comes to save people, but when we reject him, when we don't treat him as king, when we don't treat him as we should, he actually brings punishment. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment. Quick show of hands. Hand up if you've ever been able to stay at home with just you and maybe older brother and sister while your parents go away for a weekend. Yeah, or maybe even for a week or something like that. Now, I want you to imagine how they're going to feel when they come back and the house is a mess. You've broken things. You've lost things. You've pooed on the carpet. You've done all sorts of terrible things like that. How are they going to feel? Happy or sad?
Sad.
Happy.
Joyful or angry cranky pants?
Joyful.
Joyful? You think they're going to be joyful? I think they're going to be angry cranky pants. You are going to be busted, custard. You're going to be in big trouble when your parents come home. Because what have they done? They've actually said, you're old enough now, you and your brother or your sister or whoever it might be, and responsible enough that you can actually look after the house. You're free to look after the place while we're gone for the weekend. And they're going to be pretty upset when they come home, and you're going to know it. Because they're going to tell you, they're going to let you know that they're not happy with you. Here's the point. God made us. And God made us to live in His world. And God made us to rule His world His way. But you know what? All of us, we've rejected God in some type of way. We haven't always treated God as God. And so there's a time coming when Jesus will return. And He'll actually bring judgment. That is, those that haven't trusted in Him won't get the good things that salvation brings. They won't get to come back and be friends with God, but they'll be apart from God forever. They won't be friends with God. They won't be rescued. They won't be saved. So who is Jesus? There's our question from the beginning.
The King.
Jesus is the special. Jesus is the special King. The special one, approved by God, appointed by God. What does He do? He does two things. He brings salvation. He saves people. But He also brings judgment. That is, those that reject Him, He will reject. He will judge. They will be punished. They won't be in heaven. They won't be back with Jesus in heaven. I've got a question that I'm going to ask you every day to close. And the question is, are you lost or found? I don't want you to talk about it. By all means, talk about it in your small groups. Talk about it as you go to bed tonight. The question is, are you lost or found? My hope is that by the end of the week, you will see these things clearly. That you will see that Jesus, He actually came, what? The Son of Man came to look for and save people who are lost. I hope you'll see Jesus more clearly this week. I hope you love soccer more from this week. I hope you enjoy getting to know new friends this week. But I hope more than any of those things, that you'd actually see that Jesus came to rescue you, that Jesus came on a special mission to look for and to save people who are lost. And so I also hope that by the end of the week, you will see that you're one of these lost people, just like me, just like all of the leaders here, just like everyone, that you're one of those lost people. And I hope that you see that only Jesus can save you and that you'll actually go, I want to follow Jesus. I want Jesus to be number one. I want Jesus to become above everything else in my life. That's my hope by the end of the week. And so each day, and you'll see this in the booklet there, we're about to split up into some groups very shortly. We're going to be meeting people who are lost. Okay, we're going to be meeting someone in a moment, a bunch of people who were lost people. And some of the people who are lost that we'll be meeting each day in the talk and in the Bible study that we do, some of them realize they're lost and they go, whoa, thank you, Jesus. And they start following Jesus. Other people, they don't realise they're lost and they keep their back turned on Jesus and they don't start following Him. So we're going to learn from both of these types of people and we're going to keep meeting them. Let me give you one final thing to think about. I was a goalkeeper, as we heard before. And if you haven't yet realised that goalkeepers are the most important player on the field. Who agrees?
Yeah.
And there's not many amens with that. Who disagrees? Yeah, there's a whole bunch more hands to go up. I think the goalkeeper is the most important player on the field. You know what? I saw Liam doing this today with the yellow team. They often save the day. You go, oh, the ball's about to go in, and then bang. Or with the case of Corey, the head, bang. He saves it with his head. The goalkeeper, they often save the day. They often stop the ball. They save the ball from going into the back of the net. You know what? Jesus, He is like the ultimate goalkeeper. Okay? He is the ultimate saver. He really saves the day because Jesus is the one who came to look for and to
save
people who are lost. He is the one who has come to save the day. And I really hope that by the end of this week, you won't be treating Jesus. I really hope that you won't be treating Jesus if He's still that little sweet baby in a manger, but you'll actually see Him as the Savior. the ultimate saver of the world. I'm going to pray. So again, close your eyes, bow your heads. And if you agree with what I pray and what anyone else prays while you're on camp this week, what do you say at the end?
Amen.
Amen. Simple word to say. I'm going to pray. Dear God, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you that he is the ultimate saver who came to look for and to save people who are lost. We pray that you would please help us not to treat Jesus as a little baby, but that we would treat him as the saviour of the world. Please help us tonight and for the rest of this week as we keep learning about what Jesus has done, that we'd understand it more, that we'd know how incredible his death and resurrection was, and that you would help us to trust in him. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, in a moment, I'll hand back over to Barry in a moment. But in our small groups, what we're about to do is we're going to meet some actual sports people. I don't think it's really a sport. You'll work it out when you look at it in a moment. And these sports people leave their sport. It's not soccer. I don't know if they played soccer back then. So that they can start following Jesus. So that's something of what we're going to look at in the Bible story and the people that we're going to meet in a moment. But I'll hand back over to Barry.
Thank you, David. Boys.